This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl on this Wednesday morning. You are listening to the Earl Ingram Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to join the show, you can call or text at any time, 855-752-4842. If you are a regular listener of Earl's program, you know if it's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, that means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin joining the show. Dr. Craig, how are we doing on this Wednesday morning?
I'm good, Luke. Good to meet you. This is our first conversation, and thanks for stepping in for Earl.
Oh, not a problem, Dr. Craig. I've played many iterations around the network here at Civic, so you may have interacted with me without knowing it in the past. I've produced many of Earl's shows and some of the other programs across the network, but great to be able to catch up with you on this one-on-one basis here across the airwaves. I know that Earl wanted to be with you here on the radio this Wednesday morning, but unfortunately, fate had other things for him to do with the car deciding to not work. But he'll be back tomorrow, everyone, from 8 until 10. So you want to tune in for the Earl Ingram Show then when Earl returns. Dr. Craig, we've got a lot of different things going on across the entire state of Wisconsin and the federal government right now with the many executive actions and the sole kind of stretching of what we've seen of executive power as Donald Trump returned to the White House last week. Your thoughts on the many executive actions and some of the most important ones to keep an eye on from out of Washington, D.C. last week?
There's a great deal going on every day, Luke, and I know as we record, Bobby Kennedy is about to have a dramatic confirmation hearing, someone who doesn't believe in a lot of the mission of the agency he wants to lead, Department of Health and Human Services. But if you were prognosticating, Luke, and you were thinking about going into Inauguration Day last Monday, Martin Luther King Day, if there was a kind of minimal version of what Trump would do, where it would be primarily rhetorical, there would be some major kind of things that would get attention, but it wouldn't be some kind of dramatic change in government. And then the other side would be, I'm going to do things no president has ever dared to do, and irregardless of what the law is. And we're on the more extreme end of the spectrum right now. We had the cancellation by executive order of a constitutional amendment, the 14th Amendment's clause about birthright citizenship. That is not a presidential power, by the way, to change the Constitution. We've had pulling out of the World Health Organization, which will have dramatic consequences. We're canceling all DEI programs, canceling all of the investments President Biden made on climate change and green energy, which are critical because we're at the real turning point about the future of human civilization. We have to slow down climate change in the next 5 years or so in order to have a decent shot at not having runaway climate change. Yesterday, I guess it's hard to know because when you have this shock and awe strategy, the whole point is to get constant attention and take it every day. So you have to do something more dramatic. Obviously, the beginning of these immigration raids is very dramatic and is getting a lot of attention and certainly seems to be going well beyond just the dangerous criminals he said that he was going to focus on at first. But it was the freezing of all federal grant money yesterday, which was dramatic. I mean, that basically any money that does not go directly to a person, and that's a lot of different money, I mean, that is Head Start, that is early childhood education and education programs, that is Medicaid, which provides health coverage to one-fifth of Americans. I mean, you were leaving one-fifth uninsured. In the Medicaid portal that all the states use to download federal money, it's a federal-state partnership program where the federal government provides part of it, the state, the other part. In Wisconsin, 60% federal, 40% Wisconsin on average for the Medicaid programs. The state doesn't have the money to do that on its own. They just cut off the money. They seem to have reversed that part, but there's mass confusion. The memo from the Office of Management and Budget, that's the budget arm of the White House, was confusing to everyone. President Trump's new press secretary can't explain it, and things are being shut down, and then some of them are being restarted and some of them aren't. And what people don't realize, if you think about a Head Start program, a health clinic, for example, for people who can't afford to get any other kind of care, that they're delivered by nonprofit organizations that have very tight margins. There was a survey of Head Start organizations indicates that they can survive 2 weeks or so. That's how much operating margin they have. So this is pretty serious and illegal. The president cannot simply change what the money Congress has appropriated. The Constitution clearly says that the power of the purse is in the House of Representatives, then the Senate. But the problem is, who's going to stop him? And how long will it take? The blocking of all money that doesn't go directly to people was held up until Monday by a federal judge. But we've just learned in the prosecution of Donald Trump that you can't just depend upon the legal system to fix these things, especially if you have an administration that has a whole Department of Justice to defend itself and is willing just to do that, violate laws on a daily basis and draw more and more lawsuits. And we know courts do not move quickly. And we have the problem with the Supreme Court that is not in a very unbalanced Supreme Court, to say it, put it euphemistically, Luke. So long answer, but there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot to keep an eye on. Folks, if you're just joining us, that's Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin. Joining me, Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl Ingram on this Wednesday morning here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Dr. Craig, a lot of the in the past, it had been that there would be these kind of far-reaching, kind of out there strategies for approaches to government from conservative and elected Republican officials in our government. It feels like that is kind of tilted now, where Donald Trump and his second administration is more trying to touch the stove and see how hot it is. And on instances like with the rollback of, oh no, these Medicaid portals are now going to be open again. Here in Wisconsin, the Badger Care portal being open again became a pretty quick pullback, backlash from the Trump administration touching and seeing, oh, that's a little too hot. Do you believe that there is going to be that needed kind of heat reaction from Wisconsinites, from Americans, to be able to provide, saying, hey, too far? Like, is that going to have to go for every single one of these things? Because my fear is the ones that don't get that attention, the federal programming that is not going to get the immediate drawback and the pushback from hey, like Medicaid is seeing, we're going to lose a lot of those other services. And it's going to take weeks or months for Wisconsinites and for Americans to realize what's happening in all of this chaos.
I think you're right, Luke. And I don't know that everything that can be done by a president that's heedless are and what the law is and what the consequences are, apparently, just to show that they're boss and they're the dictator. Whether there can be enough public outrage to switch everything. We don't even know Medicaid is switched permanently. We know they pulled back for now. We don't know what the Trump Justice Department will argue in court about this, or whether they will think that they will argue they have the authority, what they have the authority to do and don't do. They're not defining DEI very clearly, so no one's quite sure what is banned and what isn't, quite independent of whether it's a good idea or not to do that. You have the issue of he's offered buyout to every member of the civil service, mm-hmm. part of the Project 2025 plan, which he disavowed because it was unpopular. But clearly they're following that playbook. In fact, Russell Voigt, his Office of Management and Budget director that he's appointed, is one of the architects of the Project 2025 plans that propose exactly what we're seeing going on. But the problem is, it probably is not, most lawyers think the president doesn't have the power to offer buyouts to all of these federal employees. These are the non-political appointees, the people who know how to run things, right? And that's damaging because if a lot of people take it, will the government have the expertise to run these programs anymore? I mean, there's a reason we have a trained civil service, because they know how these programs work and they're complicated. Various political hacks that Trump may want to put in instead will not know how to run these programs. So there could be permanent damage done as well. But I agree with you, it can't just be only the things that get public attention enough and it's clear enough that they get overturned are the ones that get attention, because this is an all-out attack on the constitutional order. That sounds really hyperbolic on my part, but it's hard to know how to describe this other than the executive branch, the president, deciding to breach all of the balance of powers and separation of powers that were put into the Constitution to prevent undemocratic behavior like this at the whim of one person or even one branch of government. And so this is a constitutional crisis. And if he continues to try to do this, and I mean, quite frankly, a lot is going on with the deportation issue to try to get people to understand they have rights. And if someone doesn't have a judicial warrant, they don't have a right to barge into your house and search for who's there, for example, or into your church, or into your school. But people don't know that, and ICE will just come in if you let them, just for example. So this is going to, we'll see, Luke, whether this is the new normal and we're going to be going through an extended constitutional crisis or whether they pull back a little bit. Hard to say. We're definitely, though, in the shock and awe, as they called it, stage of the process. Maybe that will be the next 4 years.
Yeah, and it's going to be telling if the next 4 years are this full of shock and awe throughout the entire second Trump administration. Folks, that's Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin joining me, Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl Ingram on this Wednesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We're going to continue the conversation discussing these unprecedented moves, and you can join it as well, 855-752-4842. You can call or text here on the Earl Ingram Show, and we're going to continue the conversation rolling. Stay tuned across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Show. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Ingram on this Wednesday edition of the program. If you'd like to join the show, you can call or text at any time, 855-752-4842. Folks, in less than 3 weeks now, we've got another election here in the state of Wisconsin. So Civic Media encourages you to be a voter in 2025. Coming up on Tuesday, February 18th, Wisconsin has its spring primary election. You can check your voter registration status, find your polling place, and make a plan to be a voter in this spring's primary. Go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov to learn more. You are listening to the Earl Ingram Show across the Civic Media Radio Network, joined here on a Wednesday morning in his usual time slot with Earl, but graciously joining me, filling in for Earl, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Dr. Craig, we do have a primary election coming up here in Wisconsin. We know that there is going to be a lot of mobilization around not only the pushback kind of being that heat, the hot pan on the stove when the second Trump administration is reaching out and trying to do some of these unprecedented things. We're going to have voters going to the polls, one of the first election, regularly scheduled elections in this second Trump administration for an off year coming up in February. What is Citizen Action up to when it comes to the on the ground organizing here in our state around these unprecedented and seemingly nonstop news cycles?
So you're right. There are some big elections coming up. So we are, our members are in membership chapters called Organizing Co-ops in five parts of the state. So we're involved. We've started our endorsement process for local candidates. There's some important school board races, some mayoral, city council, county board races, but mostly school board. And then Department of Public Instruction has a three-person primary. The person who runs the agency that that directs our public schools statewide. And then we have, it won't be a primary, it'll just go straight to the general election, but we have an absolutely critical Supreme Court race, which is where we're going to do at Citizen Action our statewide work, which is yet another race, like the one we had after the 2022 election, for control of the state Supreme Court. So we're going to find out whether abortion remains legal in Wisconsin or whether we'll return to the 1849 law. We'll see if relatively fairer maps where the party could win the state legislature stay, or whether they're re-gerrymandered if a right wing, if Brad Schimmel, the former Walker's former attorney general, wins. He's the conservative candidate for Supreme Court. And the Act 10, the very controversial law that gutted collective bargaining agreements for public employees, that has been ruled unconstitutional, is heading to the Supreme Court, for example. So we have, and we have cases around PFAS and whether or not the state has the authority to regulate PFAS, the forever chemicals that are so damaging, mm-hmm. that are poisoning a lot of our waterways and groundwater. And so all of that is on the line because a conservative judge will probably reverse the Supreme Court's position on everything, particularly a very partisan conservative judge like Brad Schimmel. And Susan Crawford is the understood to be the Democratic candidate, though this is a nonpartisan race. And in that case, we would see abortion rights protected. There's a better chance we'd see Act 10 overturned. We'd continue to have fairer maps. And I think the government will be found to have the authority to regulate PFAS because they're very dangerous. But the State Chamber of Commerce, WMC, has a lawsuit that's working its way up to the Supreme Court that denies this authority.
Yeah, and we're going to be having Judge Crawford here on the program tomorrow morning, just before this time. So 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you're going to want to tune in for Earl's conversation with Judge Susan Crawford running in that state Supreme Court race. Is it a lot of door-to-door knocking at this point for Citizen Action? What kind of organizing on the ground? What kind of outlets for Wisconsinites that are rightly, in many cases, upset about some of these unprecedented actions that are taking place in Washington, D.C.? What kind of local outlets does Citizen Action provide for individuals that may, for the first time, want to get involved with an organization like Citizen Action?
Well, for the Supreme Court race, we'll be doing our deep canvas, which is both phone banking, which is, you know, automatic dialer, so you get a lot of calls, and doors where we have concentrations of members. We are still working on what we're going to be doing concerning, because it's a moving target day to day, what is going on with Donald Trump. We're preparing for the possibility that there's going to be proposed massive cuts in Medicaid. That is federal Medicaid is the federal share of what funds, say, Badger Care and long-term care for seniors and people with disabilities, home care, nursing home care, other kinds of support, community health clinics. The goal here for the Republicans is to pass budget instructions very quickly by April that would both try to institutionalize and renew massive tax cuts for billionaires and corporations, so a Trump tax cuts 2.0, but then to fund that by making massive cuts in Medicaid and other healthcare programs, for example. And so we're preparing for that because that's going to require pressure, because the House of Representatives is so narrowly balanced that you have to focus really on Republicans who are in districts where they could lose re-election to a Democrat. And so the third congressional district comes to mind, that is Congressman Van Orden. I think Congressman Stile in the southeast corner of the state would also be in a more closely balanced district, and therefore more possibly of influencing their vote, a vote mm-hmm. that would come down to a couple votes. But we have to see what's going to happen here with Trump's attempt to cut off Medicaid. At least that threat is off until Monday, until there's this court hearing, but prior to Congress taking any action to cut funding for Medicaid. So it's a moving target. I think there's one.
Oh, go ahead. We just got a minute left, Dr. Craig, with this one.
Yeah, no, I'll kick it back to you. Let me just say that the one thing that Donald Trump is helping with right now is educating people about all the things the government does that were invisible to people.
Yeah, it's very important that there's the number of programs and policies out there that are taken for granted and being brought to light in this instance. And we've got a Medicaid conversation expanding Medicare here in Wisconsin coming up later today on the Maggie Dawn Show. Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance going to be joining Maggie to discuss that from 2 to 4. Folks, you're listening to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers filling in for Earl and joined by Dr. Robert Craig and you on the phone lines, 855-752-4842.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Ingram on this Wednesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Cal, you got a lucky job, man. You got some of the best bumper music for Earl in the entire network. Just jamming out to some excellent, excellent musical selections by Calvin on the board. You can join us on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Earl Ingram Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up later at the 10 o'clock hour, Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair, Calvin on the board, some excellent guests from the Fox Valley, Emily Stefos, who is with the Outagamie Democratic Party, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly going to be joining the program coming up from 10 until noon on Matinair on Air. You're also going to want to stay tuned for the Todd Alba Show. He's going to be joined by friends of the show, Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olson. And we got excellent programming throughout the entire day here on Civic Media. So you want to stay tuned for the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4, the Dom Salvia Show, 4 to 6, and then finish off the night with Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8. Here on the Earl Ingram Show, we're going to be joined tomorrow by Dr. Omar. Calvin and Earl will be back in the chair, I promise. I'll do everything I can, Cal, to make sure that it's not me filling in for Earl tomorrow, okay? But Dr. Omar going to be joining Calvin and Earl on the airwaves for In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And then following that, Judge Susan Crawford, 9 a.m., going to be joining Earl for a conversation. She is one of the candidates for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, that race coming up on the ballot before Wisconsin voters on April 1st. Between now and then, though, we've got a spring primary on February 18th. So head over to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about the spring primary. And we are joined on this Wednesday morning by Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, do you mind if we take a couple questions from the phone callers? We got a couple people waiting on the lines for us.
Not at all. Democracy in action, Luke.
Absolutely. We got Mike in Kenosha calling in. Mike, what do you got on your mind for Dr. Craig and I this Wednesday morning?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. First time talking to you, Luke. Nice to meet you. Dr. Craig,
nice to meet you as well, Mike.
You did your research on, I know you did your research on Project 2025. And as I recall during the debate season, when Project 2025 was first gaining some, you know, visibility, when we confronted the right wingers in the Republican Party and wanted to get into the weeds of some of these draconian policies that were written, they ran from 2025. Trump, as I recall publicly, separated himself from 2025. So I don't know how, you know, they ran away from it. So now they win, and now it's the blueprint. I don't know about you. By the way, was my characterization correct in general on that, Dr. Craig?
Yes, it was starting to become an issue. It was unpopular, and Donald Trump distanced himself and said he hadn't read it and had nothing to do with it. He has now proceeded to appoint people who were part of writing Project 2025. We knew at the time that a lot of former Trump people were doing that. And the person who did what we've seen yesterday, that suddenly cut off all the federal money to all grant programs, which is most federal programs, it's a smaller portion that go directly to individuals, most go to a third party, a state, a nonprofit, et cetera, that he wrote that section of Project 2025. That was Russell Voigt. And you can read profiles of him and his rather radical plan simply to use the OMB to simply change laws and change, irrespective of what Congress did and what they passed and what the law is. And so this is part and parcel of it. You have a campaign theory that says, say anything, deny everything, and then proceed. And we're seeing that right now. And these are just different ways to take apart our constitutional order. So in other words, denying that you lost an election and inspiring people to go and try to block certification, that was part and parcel of what we're seeing now. Go way beyond your actual constitutional powers in order to try to disrupt things. And I think that Senator Chris Murphy is right. It's a power grab, as I heard him describe it yesterday.
Yeah, it very much feels like it is a power grab that is going to be tested. It is going to be seen to see how far it can be taken. And the aspect that a lot of services are going to be lost or disrupted, we're coming up for folks on fixed incomes that rely on these federal programs like Medicare, like Medicaid, the federal government stopping and just being like, oh, we're going to assess it, we're going to see what happens kind of vibe is a very callous approach to take. Because for anybody that's on a fixed income that relies on any programs that provides services and resources to them to go about their daily lives, we're about to hit the first of the month. Rent's going to be due. There's going to be bills that need to be paid by individuals that receive benefits and services from the federal government that Donald Trump did not campaign on, did not say that, hey, this is going to be what happens when I start putting these people in place and these offices are going to be staffed with individuals like Voigt, who is now sending OMB memos to the federal employees, giving them an option to say, hey, there's this, again, buyout is not a good term, but it is how it is being referred to. We're going to say, hey, there's this deal that you could take it, or you got to return to the office, or you got to do X, Y, or Z. We don't know what's coming next, because again, it seems like this power grab, depending on what kind of check comes into place, Dr. Craig, is going to just continue and continue.
Well, there's mass confusion. States, nonprofits don't know what's going to be cut off, what isn't, what is covered by this memo, what isn't, when will they change their mind on what's covered. apparently a lot of the money moves in early February, after February 1st, so February 3rd. So until then, both states and nonprofits that deliver federal services need to kind of spend the money as if they're going to get it. And so there's just tremendous uncertainty out there. A lot of people are losing their sleep, and there are probably a lot of uncertainty among people who depend upon these services. If your kid doesn't have their Head Start program, how are you able to go to work, right, and support the family and then make rent, et cetera? Here's something we don't know. I'm going to say something that hasn't happened yet, but I don't think it's off the table. We're assuming here on Civic Media, as people who believe in, you know, that we live in an established constitutional order, that if courts overturn what the Trump administration does, that they will heed that ruling. That has not always been the case. Andrew Jackson, who Trump has replaced FDR's portrait with in the Oval Office, he lost a Supreme Court decision saying he could not go and remove tribes that owned land and had settled them and were farming on them in Georgia. They were called the quote-unquote civilized tribes, the Cherokee and other tribes. And that was ruled unconstitutional to remove them and steal their land. And President Jackson, General Jackson, said Justice Marshall, he was the Supreme Court the Chief Justice, Justice Marshall. He goes, Justice Marshall has made his ruling, now let him enforce it, and proceed to use the army to illegally, violation of what the Supreme Court ruled, remove the Cherokee, had a trail of tears by foot where huge numbers of people died just in the trip, and they were dumped in Arkansas and eventually Oklahoma with very little support. And so I don't know if we're going to see that, Luke, because if we have a Trump Justice Department that controls all of the resources, will Donald Trump start ignoring federal courts? Will that start to be litigated? We don't know, right? I mean, what he's doing now, no president has attempted before. So now we will see what happens, whether even court rulings will be sufficient.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately only time will tell on where those directions go next, with the ball rolling in that direction. 855-752-4842. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl Ingram here on the Earl Ingram Show on this Wednesday morning, joined by Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. You can join us on the phone lines. Up next, we got Jack calling in from Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind this Wednesday morning?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I thought it was Lincoln that did something similar involving the emancipation. Said something to the effect that, you may have the courts, but I have the army, something like that. This is beginning. Speaking of having the army and with Hegseth in charge, this is beginning to sound like something similar to that. But what I wanted to point out was something that I noticed yesterday, which is I'm an old stamp collector, and I recall collecting a series of stamps that were on the Chicago World's Fair in 1933. And the theme of that fair was a century of progress. Now, America at that time wasn't progressing real fast, because we were in the middle of the most severe depression the world has ever seen. FDR was elected, and we saw another century of progress. We saw enactment of Social Security, laws governing the right of labor to organize, some of the earliest anti-poverty programs with the Civilian Conservation Corps, things like that. And then across the next century, we saw things like civil rights legislation, Medicare, the ACA. We saw basically another century of progress in terms of social progress and progress in favor of the American people. And what appears to be happening right now is we've got a person that's trying to, in his first couple of weeks in office, basically undo a century of progress. And that's pretty outrageous. I have acquaintances who are progressive, as well as those who are very conservative, and they all said, oh, he's not going to do all that stuff. I'm hoping that they're going to wake up. I think some police that voted for this guy have already started to wake up and realize that this is a criminal who pardoned a bunch of criminals and is not a law and order person, and they may be getting some buyer's remorse. I'm really hoping that there are millions of people that are going to wake up and realize they have buyer's remorse too.
Appreciate the phone call, Jack. You could be like Jack, 855-752-4842. Dr. Craig, your thoughts on if there are folks out there having buyer's remorse, if there's folks kind of not realizing what was truly at stake when it came to last November, your thoughts for those individuals that are trying to kind of come to terms with where we're at right now?
I guess it remains to be seen, because we went through 4 years of Trump's presidency, which was, look at polls, American historians, he was ranked dead last as far as American presidents, but they saw something different. So I want to have some humility. We'd have to break it down by types of voters and the like, whether they're seeing this as unusual or not, or whether they need more information. I think people who are directly impacted, I mentioned, we talked before, Luke, about people learning about all of the ways government works. It's a problem that people don't know what government does in their lives. It's become too complicated and subterranean. You know, like, we support this nonprofit that then provides this thing, and people don't realize where it came from. I think Jack made a good point about Lincoln. Lincoln used the war powers. We're at war, so he's commander in chief, and so he could emancipate the slaves, was his argument, in the rebelling territories. Trump has tried to do the same thing, claiming an immigration emergency and claiming a bogus energy emergency.
We're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Robert Craig here on The Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl on this Wednesday edition. We got one more segment left in today's show. Stay tuned, 855-752-4842. You can join the conversation.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to The Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Earl on this Wednesday edition of the program, joined by Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin, and you on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. You can also call or text right from the Civic Media app, free and easy to download. Head on over to your favorite app store, type in Civic Media. It's free, easy to download. You can take us with you wherever you go. Robert Craig, about the unprecedented and various things to be keeping an eye on out of Washington, D.C., what it means for us here in Wisconsin on this Wednesday edition. Dr. Craig, one of the things that I've been seeing kind of come out of all of this, the what we need to be paying attention to, the changes, the drastic, pretty rapid moves that are coming out of this second Trump administration, is it touches on a little bit of what you were saying right there before we had to head to the break about people not knowing what government does for them, people being unaware of the services in their lives that are only there, or at least in their part of, because the federal government. And some of the discussion that I've seen online on social media platforms and in some conversation with friends is, what comes next? How do we have the imagination to kind of reshape some of these aspects that folks have taken for granted for years, if not decades or longer, of that unawareness of how the federal government affects them here in Wisconsin, and when they're going about their daily lives in Green Bay or Chippewa Falls or anywhere across our great state?
How do we imagine that what comes next for individuals to be better aware of how they're connected to the federal government and how it serves them in their day-to-day lives?
I've said many times to Earl, Luke, that one of the reasons democracy is on the ropes is because government isn't clear enough to people. It is not the old 1930s where you knew FDR had sent the WPA in to rebuild your town and build all these bridges and build all these amenities. You knew where it was coming from. And so we've allowed through the acts of Congress for many decades to make government almost subterranean, even though what you're going to find out with Trump is when you pull out the money, all hell breaks loose. You have a lot of state officials around the country that like to go around and announce new programs and cut ribbons, and they don't mention the money came from the federal government, right? They make it act like it was the action of this governor, this state senator, this representative, and that they see that as politically convenient, but that adds up to public misunderstanding of what's happening. And then, you know, you have to give people some leeway here. A lot of people voted not knowing what impact Trump could have on their direct daily lives, because they didn't realize that how important government support for healthcare, for education, for childcare, for Head Start, for food and food assistance, heating assistance. We can go on and on. There's just a massive list, and you're beginning to see these lists published now. I think it'll be a process. It depends how this develops, right? In the medium term, the only accountability other than court decisions they're abided by is the next election, which is not until November 2026. It's an open question how many members of Congress and the Republican side with their narrow majorities will do the right thing or not, because they're terrified of Donald Trump and terrified that he will find a primary opponent that will destroy end their political careers, right? And so they're playing ball, but they're really be between a rock and a hard place if to the extent their constituents know what is happening and demand they do something about it. And there's a much better chance of stopping this lawless behavior if Congress has the votes in order to stand up to it, to fulfill its role as checking overreach by the executive branch, as the courts also need to do right now.
Yeah, so I do believe it's gonna be very interesting to see how the checks between now and that November election are going to take form. We I think as individuals paying attention to the first tax and legislative session in 2017, when it was assumed that Obamacare was going to be repealed, there were activists that did not know the way that Senator John McCain was going to vote on that, and there was a lot of, I think, presumed outcomes for, it's inevitable, Obamacare is going to get overturned. But in fact, if we look back at that case, there were individuals that got involved, people called on their lawmakers. We don't know who those lawmakers are going to be quite yet this go around. The fact that John McCain walked up and gave his thumbs down was a pretty impactful aspect of the first Trump administration. It prevented the overturning of Obamacare. And that's what I'm keeping an eye on, Dr. Craig, is really going to be what lawmakers around the country, hopefully here in Wisconsin, but around the nation, are going to serve that kind of John McCain role. We only got about a minute left before the end of your show. Your final thoughts for this Wednesday morning, Dr. Craig.
Yeah, and saving the Affordable Care Act with his thumbs down gesture did not harm John McCain's reputation at all. It burnished it in history. So we'll find out vote for vote. I think it might be Mitch McConnell on the Robert Kennedy Jr. nomination. He's a polio survivor. He knows how important vaccines are. And he could join the handful of more moderate Republican senators, and that would end this nomination. So it's going to be case by case. But Mitch McConnell would have done a great public service and made up for some of the bad things he did if he would stand up for vaccines and for public health.
That's another thing that the Maggie Dawn Show is going to be keeping an eye on here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up later from 2 to 4, you can tune into Maggie's show. We got Jane Matt Nair on air coming up next. Thank you, everyone, for making the show go. Thank you, Cal. Thank you, Dr. Craig. Earl will be back tomorrow morning, 8 to 10, with Judge Susan Crawford at 9.
Talk to y'all later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.